Would you feel disappointed if you discovered someone misused a gift you gave them? In 1 Corinthians 14, Paul addresses a similar situation in the Corinthian church. They've been given spiritual gifts, but are using them improperly. Specifically, Paul discusses the gifts of prophecy and tongues, providing principles for their proper use. Join Stephen as he teaches how these gifts should be used to edify and bring understanding to the church.
Wouldn't you be a little disappointed if you gave new parents a book you'd written on the principles of parenting, only to discover that they were selling the book online soon after? How would you feel if you gave some money to believers in your church who were raising funds for their mission trip, only to discover later that they used your financial gift to buy a new couch or some new clothing? Well, let me tell you, this little church in Corinth was doing something similar. They had been given spiritual gifts from God, but they were using them in a way that God never intended. In chapter 12 of 1 Corinthians, Paul dealt with their unbalanced perspective on spiritual gifts as they focused their attention on the public, sensational gifts. Paul reminded them in verses 29 and 30 that God didn't give every believer the gifts of healing or speaking in tongues or prophecy. But all the people in the church in Corinth wanted these particular gifts. I mean, they were exciting and sensational, but they wanted them for the wrong reasons. Well, now as we set sail today into chapter 14, Paul is going to specifically address the gift of tongues. Now, I frankly believe this is the most ignored chapter among the charismatic movements of today, even though this chapter speaks more about tongues than all the other chapters in the rest of the New Testament combined. Many people are repeating the same mistakes today that these believers were making back in first century Corinth. Now, in the first 25 verses, Paul presents two guiding principles for the use of tongues. And the guiding principles are edification and understanding. The gift of tongues was a supernatural gift that empowered people to speak in a language, well, that they'd never learned. I believe, just as it originally occurred on the day of Pentecost, that every tongue was a language known somewhere in the world. Also at work in the early church was the gift of prophecy. Prophecy was declaring divinely revealed truth or received truth in the language of the listener. Now, one of the most ignored truths that Paul reinforces in this chapter is that prophecy actually has greater value than tongues. Paul writes here in verse 1, "Pursue love and earnestly desire the spiritual gifts, especially that you may prophesy," that is, that you may deliver God's word to people in their language, a language they understand. And he explains why here in verse 2. "One who speaks in a tongue speaks not to men, but to God, for no one understands him." Now, many people today use this verse to argue for a private use of the gift of tongues in their, what they call their prayer closet. Beloved, no gift was meant for personal use only. That would be like someone saying he has the gift of giving, but he only gives to himself. Suppose I have the gift of teaching, and I prepare a sermon, and then I go into my closet and I preach it. Well, I come out and tell you, that was a wonderful message. That was a wonderful experience for me. Well, you'd probably take me to see a doctor. Paul isn't encouraging some private prayer time when you speak in a language you don't even understand. In fact, Paul clearly says down here in verse 14, "For if I pray in a tongue, my spirit prays, but," notice this, "my mind is unfruitful. What am I to do? I will pray with my spirit, but I will pray with my mind also." In other words, Paul is saying that you are closest to God in prayer when you're speaking a language your mind understands and your spirit collaborates. with. Now, Paul isn't encouraging some sort of mystical prayer language that you can't understand. In fact, he says here, well, that would be unfruitful. That would be unhelpful. Likewise, in the church, the need for interpretation is apparent. In fact, Paul writes here in verse 19, in church, I would rather speak 5 words with my mind in order to instruct others than 10,000 words in a tongue. After all, I mean, what profit would there be to the assembly if tongues are not interpreted? You know, I've heard pastors on television and in person just start rambling in some supposed language and then without any interpretation from anybody, get back to their sermon. If the Apostle Paul was in the audience, he'd probably stand up and say, sir, what you just did might have made you feel important, might have made you look spiritual, but as far as edifying the church body, it was absolutely unfruitful. It didn't help anybody at all. Again, Paul is emphasizing the principle of edification. Now, back in verse 3, Paul writes, the one who prophesies, that is, speaking in the language of his audience, speaks to people for their upbuilding and encouragement and consolation. Now, that's fruitful. That's meaningful. But you might wonder about the day of Pentecost back in Acts chapter 2 when the apostles first spoke in tongues. There were no interpreters there in Solomon's porch. Well, keep in mind that interpreters weren't needed at that event because the Bible clearly tells us the apostles were speaking various languages that were represented in the crowd that had gathered. Everyone heard his native language being spoken. In other words, one of the apostles was speaking in Spanish, so to speak, because people from Spain were there and they could understand the message. But what Paul is talking about now is different. In the local church, no one understands Spanish, and they have to have an interpreter there to interpret it so they can understand it. And that's an important point in order for edification to take place. This guiding principle of edification means that every spiritual gift from God, including tongues, is to be used to edify other believers, to encourage and build up the church. Now, with that, you have the second guiding principle, which is closely aligned, and it's the guiding principle of understanding. In order to build up the believer, in order to benefit the church, there has to be understanding. But get this, the nature of this miraculous gift, this gift of tongues, well, it meant that the congregation would not have understood the language spoken, whether it was Spanish or Mandarin. So once again, Paul stresses the need for the gift of interpretation. He writes here in verse 10, there are doubtless many different languages in the world, and none is without meaning. But if I do not know the meaning of the language, I will be a foreigner to the speaker, and the speaker a foreigner to me. Now, once again, Paul is stressing, without an interpretation of the tongue, there's no understanding of the tongue. And if there's no understanding, there's no edification, certainly. This is why Paul writes here in verse 13 that the person who speaks in an unknown language ought to be praying for someone who can interpret what they've just said. So the point Paul is making is that the language, the tongue, must always be accompanied by an interpreter for the sake of understanding. Or, frankly, it's just a lot of noise, a lot of crazy noise. What about an unbeliever who shows up to a church service like that? Well, Paul writes with that kind of blunt language here in response to the Christians who were speaking in tongues without any interpretation. He writes here in verse 23, will they not say that you are out of your mind? Let me tell you, beloved, without the principles of edification and understanding, neither the believers nor unbelieving visitors are going to benefit from this gift. Now, with that, we arrive at perhaps the most ignored verses in this chapter. In verse 21, Paul cites verses from the prophecy of Isaiah, chapter 28, verses 11 and 12, and that's where the Lord is speaking to Israel and promises to speak to them through foreign people with strange tongues, and yet they're not going to listen. In other words, hundreds of years earlier, God promised through Isaiah to send a foreign language as a sign to the Jewish people that they'd rejected the true Messiah. Now Paul writes here in verse 22, thus tongues are a sign, not for believers, but for unbelievers. Listen, don't miss this. The gift of tongues, when properly interpreted, not only instructed the church with undeniably supernatural revelation that would be very helpful until the scriptures were completed, but it also sent a message to unbelieving Israel that they'd better listen to the apostles. This sign gift was the fulfillment of Isaiah's warning. The nation had rejected the Messiah. I've asked charismatic folks over the years how many Jewish people are being saved in their church services, and I got to tell you, they look at me rather strangely. I remind them of this text, that this was a unique, temporary gift, and this was the purpose. Paul says it right here. This is a sign, not to the believing individual, but to the unbelieving Jewish nation. Well, with that, we're out of time for today. We'll set sail again next time, beloved. And until then, may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.
That was Stephen Davey, and this is The Wisdom Journey. Remember, spiritual gifts are given to edify the church and bring understanding. Use your gifts responsibly to build up others and reflect God's love. Do you have a need or a concern in your life and would like someone to pray for you? We have a dedicated team who prays by name for every request that comes into our ministry. It would be our honor to pray for you. On our website, we have a special place where you can send us your prayer request. Just navigate to wisdomonline.org/prayer. There you'll find a form. You can fill it out with your information and your request. Rest assured, we will pray for you by name. If you'd like a more personal touch, you can also provide your phone number, and someone from our team will call to pray with you over the phone. So, how can we pray for you? Let us know by visiting wisdomonline.org/prayer. Additionally, I want to invite you to join our global prayer team and pray for us. Stephen's lessons are reaching people in over 150 countries. Each week, we focus our prayers on one of those countries, asking God to use His Word to transform lives worldwide. We send out a weekly email with specific prayer points for our ministry and the country of the week. Join us at wisdomonline.org/prayer and come back next time to travel further along the wisdom journey.